A reading from the book of Numbers. The Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses. Taking some of the spirit that was on Moses, the Lord bestowed it on the 70 elders. And as the spirit came to rest on them, they prophesied. Now two men, one named Eldad and the other Medad, were not in the gathering but had been left in the camp. They too had been on the list, but had not gone out to the tent. Yet the Spirit came to rest on them also, and they prophesied in the camp. So when the young man quickly told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp," Joshua, son of Nun, who from his youth had been Moses' aide, said, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." But Moses answered him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all." The word of the Lord.
Precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. The law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. The decrees of the Lord are steadfast. They give wisdom to the simple. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. The fear of the Lord is pure, abiding forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are all of them just. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. So in them your servant finds instruction. Great reward is in their keeping. But who can detect their own errors? From hidden faults acquit me. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. Precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. From presumption restrain your servant, may it not rule me. Then shall I be blameless, clean from grave sin.
the presence of the Lord, give joy to the heart. The precepts of the Lord, give joy to the
A reading from the letter of St. James. Come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending miseries. Your wealth has rotted away. Your clothes have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded. And that corrosion will be a testimony against you. It will devour your flesh like a fire. You have stored up treasure for the last days. Behold, the wages you withheld from the workers who harvested your fields are crying aloud, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the righteous one. He offers you no resistance. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name, who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
First of all, before I begin, it's what a great joy and a great honor it is to have Deacon Doug Hemke with us, a miracle in himself. And I know, Deacon Doug, we've been praying so many days and continue to pray for your complete recovery. So again, welcome in at the altar. I did ask Deacon Joe if, I wonder if we should have kept that step down for Deacon Doug. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Do you know the story of Aaron Ralston? It was about 18 years ago or so. Aaron Ralston was an adventurous outdoorsman, a rock climber. And it was about back in 2002 or 3, shortly after I was ordained, he was in the Nevada desert doing some rock climbing. And while he was lowering himself into this cavern, he stirred some rocks loose and he lost his footing. He fell to the ground and then he found himself trapped. And not only trapped, but there was a large rock that had fallen on his right arm. He laid there in agony for 2 days, trying to separate himself from this rock. And then finally, in desperation, he needed to take action, or he dies. He grabbed a pocket knife out of his backpack, and he began to cut off his right arm. And despite just unfathomable pain, he completed his task. He then tied a tourniquet around the stump of his arm, and he wandered through the desert, and he finally came to a road, and he flagged down a car to take him to a hospital. It was some months later, after this incredible ordeal, that Aaron Ralston appeared on the David Letterman show, and he told his story. And the audience was spellbound. And when he finished, the usual lightheartedness and sarcasm of David Letterman all of a sudden became unusually serious. He kept looking at Aaron Ralston with great intent. David Letterman said then with great admiration, "Aaron, you definitely know something about life that I don't." That takes us to the gospel today. And I'm always drawn how our Lord speaks to us, sometimes with incredible bluntness, about cutting off our hand if it causes us to sin, cutting off our foot, plucking out our eye if these things have become a block to salvation. We're to get rid of them. He says that it's better to enter into life maimed than to enter into Gehenna with all of our limbs. These are harsh words. And I bet some of us have probably heard this gospel hundreds of times. And I wonder how often you've heard a homily that's centered on the harsh words of our Lord. Maybe, you know, we could again read these words again through the lens of that rock climber, Aaron Ralston. He found himself in mortal danger because his arm was pinned under a rock. His situation was so desperate that he judged rightly. He sacrificed an essential part of his body to save his own life. Something he did so drastically that he was willing to do it despite the pain. Does it ever occur to us that we can be in a similar kind of situation, a similar kind of a spiritual situation, that we could be in a situation where our spiritual life is in danger, in a kind of mortal danger? that we are pinned underneath a rock, so to speak. If we don't do something drastic, we will die. Too strong? Is it too much, this kind of language? Our Lord uses that language like this quite a bit. All the saints, the great spiritual masters, talk about spiritual danger, about spiritual warfare, about spiritual death. And sometimes the drastic things we have to do in order to save our own spiritual lives. Now, I'm not telling you to cut off any of your limbs, but I do want to urge all of us to look at the things with a spiritual seriousness, to look at these three things that our Lord identifies with us, the hand, the foot, the eye. When you think about the hand, it's with the hand that we grasp things. In the course of our lives, what is it that we have grasped at? It's probably all sorts of things. But is it worldly things? Is it money? Is it pleasure? Is it sex? Things that we again can take away ourselves from God. Things that our egos may want. And is that grasping putting us in spiritual danger? And if so, are we willing to get rid of it? Are we willing to cut it off, to cut it out of our life? Father, there's no way I can live without. And now you answer that question. Is it riches? Is it pleasure? Is it power? Is it honor? Has your grasping pinned you down, keeping you from being fully alive? The foot. The foot is an organ by obviously which makes us walk. And we're meant to walk toward God. We're meant to walk toward that goal in our life. What path am I walking at this very moment? And if I'm not walking toward God, am I willing to cut it out of my life? And then we have the eye. The eyes are the windows to our soul. The eye is that organ of vision. We're destined to see God face to face in the beatific vision, that our whole spiritual life is a constant process of seeking and finding, looking for the things of God. I truly think since the council, I think we probably have lost a sense of urgency in our spiritual lives. Somehow it's too easy. Hey, God is love. God is my friend. Therefore, whatever I do, yeah, I'll be forgiven. It doesn't really matter. Well, yes, if we go to that sacrament of confession, the great reset, the only great reset, yes, we'll be forgiven if we seek it. That's quite right. But the spiritual life, as you know, is demanding. The spiritual life is a high adventure. And just as an athlete is willing to sacrifice all sorts of things to win a crown that will perish. What are we willing to sacrifice in our lives? What is it that we're willing to cut out of our lives to stay on that path toward God? What are we willing to cut dramatically out of our lives in order to gain eternal life? That's the hard question. That's the hard question raised by our Lord to us today and every day.
What are you willing to sacrifice, to cut out of your life in order to draw closer to our Lord? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please stand as we profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation,
he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man.
He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. And rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures.
He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom
will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and life for the world to come. Amen. Our Master teaches us that discipleship means a radical rejection of evil. Our prayers today are offered with a will to make sacrifices to follow the Lord.
For the church, that we may be of one heart and one mind, in bringing Christ to all, and all to the knowledge and love of Christ, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all priests on this priesthood weekend, that God in a special way may bless all priests and those who are called to the priesthood, so that they may receive all the strength, support, and love from all faithful. Especially for our pastor, Father Rocha. May God continue to bless him as he serves us. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For world leaders and policymakers, may the Spirit of God encourage work that fosters peace and justice in every nation, that all people may find healing and happiness. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For a deeper spirit of openness and welcome, may we renounce any temptation that is based on prestige, power, or prejudice. Give us welcoming hearts that we may acknowledge God's presence in all people. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who have been blessed with an abundance of good things, that they may open their hands and their hearts to the poor, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For greater justice in our world that meets the basic needs of all and secures their rights, beginning with the right to life itself, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all in special need, the sick, the addicted, the dying, and the grieving, for all who suffer with this pandemic and its effects, and for all the petitions we hold in the silence of our hearts, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We pray for all of God's faithful departed, and especially for Mary Solis, for whom this Mass is being offered, that Almighty God will receive them into his heavenly kingdom. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, the people called to follow your Son confidently bring their prayers before you, asking for courageous faith. We also pray for us priests on this priesthood Sunday, that we may continue to strive for holiness to be humble servants of your Son, Jesus, who is Lord forever and ever.
Amen.